Don't miss out on your chance to listen to four-time Super Bowl champ Charlie Weiss on the only podcast solely devoted to everyone's favorite position in football, the quarterback. Listen for free now by subscribing wherever you get podcasts or by going to celebrityqb.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. I'm your host, Dwayne Callender. Got to be a quick hitter tonight because we got Game 7 coming up shortly. This evening, about 2 hours away. Quite a bit of college football on tap. Nothing too awe-inspiring other than Tennessee getting absolutely smoked by Alabama to the surprise of no one. And North Carolina getting blown out by Va Tech. Again, not surprising. Miami looks like they're in a tight one, as are Michigan State. So, nothing too crazy on the college football front, to be honest. But, obviously the story of the day is the Yankees-Astros Game 7. Baseball is having a great postseason. Lots of drama going back and forth with some of the matchups. Obviously, the Dodgers being in a World Series for the first time in almost 30 years is a huge story. So baseball has a lot of media stories that they can drum up, whether it's the Yankees, obviously, with the historic history between the two franchises. Houston, obviously, the Astros were the team of the first half of the MLB season by far. So, a lot of backstory that they could bring up there. You know, obviously, the media would like it to be New York, LA, because then they can go to their East Coast and West Coast bases. But that's story for another time. So I'll get into the game in a little bit. Just wanted to dip into a few of the NBA storylines. Lonzo Ball, after getting embarrassed in his debut, had a nice game against the Suns, almost had a triple-double. Shot 12 of 27, though, to get those 29 points. But almost had a triple-double, 10 rebounds, 9 assists. And, of course, in order to celebrate like he's been there before, decided to release his own hip-hop single on iTunes. So, yeah, there's that lovely gem of Lonzo Ball with his hip-hop single called Super Saiyan. So, for those Lonzo Ball fans out there, you can listen to that track on iTunes, and from the clip I played, it makes Tyrese actually sound good. So, there's that. Anyway, so we're going to start moving on to the baseball. Going to get into the NFL tomorrow morning when I can. If not tonight, well, probably not tonight. I highly doubt. Regardless of how the Yankees game, if it goes well, great. If it doesn't go well, yeah, probably not going to be in the mood to talk about football either. So, anyway, we'll try to do NFL tomorrow for the game, so kickoff tomorrow. But anyway, in terms of the Yankees matchup against the Astros, basically you've got, some metrics heading into it. Obviously, people are hyping up the fact that CC Sabathia is going for the Yankees. He's 10-0 with a 1.69 ERA after a Yankees loss, so people are drumming up that fact. Honestly, I don't like going into things of that nature because every baseball game's different. The scenarios are different of what you're going to go into. I mean, people want to bring up the spread, Yankees being 9-1 against the spread. Houston is well above average in terms of the spread in their last 18 games at home. There's 16-2. I mean, honestly, the way I kind of look at this game is that, stylistically, we've had a mishmash of the series. The offense has shown up for the Yankees at home. Offense for the Astros has shown up at home. The road team really hasn't had much of a footing in this series, so to speak. Tonight the Yankees have the weakest pitcher they could have asked for on the Astros going in Charlie Morton. He's a softball pitcher, basically, in that he likes to make soft contact. He's going to use the change up. He's basically trying to get you to get yourself out more than anything else. If the Yankees can at least be a little bit disciplined, and get Morton himself into trouble in bad counts. I mean, honestly, he's had a 10 ERA in his two postseason starts. You should be able to get to him. I expect Houston to pull him early. I think you will see a lot of Colin McHugh and Lance McCullers early in this game. For the Yankees, CC is going to try to do what he can. I think this is ultimately going to be a bullpen battle, which should favor the Yankees if the Yankees can actually get out to a lead first. If Houston gets out to a lead first and kind of rides the momentum of the crowd, then you could see the Yankees starting to press a bit, which obviously for Yankee fans, they don't want to see happen. But, one thing that's been a common case in this postseason thus far is the Yankees core group has actually played better when their backs are against the wall, which is not necessarily something you'd like to see, but at least get the sense that the moment doesn't become too large for them. So obviously a lot of focus is going to be placed on Aaron Judge, Gary Sanchez defensively with his foibles because he just can't seem to get over the drops that he's had throughout the year. And obviously this is a situation where every mistake is going to become more magnified as the game goes along. I was thinking that it's a possibility that Girardi could go with Sanchez as the DH and bring in Romine, but it looks like Girardi is going to opt to make sure that he keeps his best hitting lineup out there. So Headley gets the DH role tonight, hitting out of the nine hole, I believe, tonight. Just because of the strong showing he's had the last two games. So Headley's in there, Frazier's in there. So we'll see how it goes tonight with the Yankees and Astros. My thinking here is the Astros, if they're gonna win this game, it's gonna be with the top of the lineup actually putting up numbers. So I'm looking at George Springer and I'm looking at Bregman. Those two need to be in a position where they can allow Altuve to get decent pitches to take hacks at. I think the Yankees are going to be smarter with Altuve and avoid him in any situations where he could actually hurt them directly. Just because Altuve has been the most dangerous player on the Astros, I said it from the beginning. I thought Altuve is still severely underrated by most clubs. They don't recognize how dangerous he truly is because he really hasn't been trying to swing for the fences either with his at bats. If he really did, he could really turn it loose. But take it for what it is. Yankees are obviously in a spot that no one really gave them much of a chance. I certainly did to be in, just given their youth. So ahead of schedule here, but you try to take advantage of every moment that you can because otherwise you can end up like the Nationals, who fired their manager Dusty Baker ahead of an apocalypse next year of salary contracts. So I'll talk about that in a little bit. But in terms of pick tonight, I'm not going to make a pick just because, with a game seven, anything can go. I would just say here that pretty much the winning team is going to need to score at least six runs. I think that's like a bare minimum tonight because I just feel as though both managers are going to start matching up bullpens come the fifth inning. I don't think either starter goes past the fifth inning. I think by the time the fifth inning comes and goes, regardless of how well either pitcher is going, I think the bullpens are going to get involved and both managers are going to try to stretch it out to get it to the finish line. So I think six is the magic number. We'll see how and when those moments come throughout the game, but that's where I ultimately think it's going to come down to in terms of the Vegas betting odds. Houston's about a minus 154, so obviously you bet the 154 to win 100. But consensus pick seems to be favoring the Yankees as the dog here. who really knows in terms of the series, just because it's been pretty back and forth series in terms of the actual ebbs and flow. So again, like I said, I think it's really going to come down to someone needs to get the 6 runs to put themselves in a comfortable spot to win in this game. I just think this is going to blow through the over 8 run line that people have projected for it. I don't even think it's going to be close that it's 8. I think it's going to be well above that. So that's what I've got for the baseball game 7 tonight. Just a couple other quick hitters. Nationals fired Dusty Baker mainly because they can't figure out what they want to do with themselves. Pinning the blame on Baker is laughable at best, because as much as I question Dusty Baker's decision making during playoff games, it's hard pressed to find someone else that can actually do a better job with managing a team. So Dusty Baker ends up leaving the Nats. The issue here, though, is the fact that I just look at this and this situation. The Nationals are a one-year team. There's nothing getting around it. It's a situation where Bryce Harper is a free agent after next year, and in terms of I mean, the contracts involved, you've got Scherzer making a ton of money come next 2 years. Strasburg's contract is backloaded, so he's going to be just, these are going to be albatross contracts. And Murphy's contract is up after next year. So yeah, Murphy, you got Harper potentially set to go. And you've got a lot of payroll allocated to a select number of players that won't be able to help you in the short term if you can't fix the glaring holes in the lineup. So the Nationals are almost stuck in a position where they either have to trade somebody this offseason to make sure you mitigate what's going on, or you can go full all in and try to win everything. To fire Dusty Baker when they didn't even fire him to his face and call him in the meeting, fire him over the phone, basically. It's absolutely embarrassing. I mean, no self-respecting manager is going to take that job, knowing that they basically have a one-year win or go home mentality to it. Because who's going to stick around for that team in 2019? I mean, that's going to be a nightmare job. So there's just a lot of baggage with the Nationals. 4 managers fired in the past 6 years. No cohesiveness. There's just nothing with the Nationals job that even remotely looks like it's gonna be worthwhile. In terms of other team news around the league, the Cubs fired Chris Bosio, who was their pitching coach from when the Cubs sucked. I mean, pretty much he was the first guy Theo Epstein hired back in 2011 when the team was a dumpster fire. So he had a number of managers, and then landed was a part of was already on the staff when Joe Maddon got there. So he experienced the lows and the highs, and now gets to be made the scapegoat for the postseason failures of the club, which to me, doesn't really make any sense for the most part, because the Cubs pitching staff was already getting old. Kyle Hendricks was a middle of the road pitcher, was turned out to be the ERA leader last year, and still was a serviceable pitcher this year despite injury plagued campaign. I'm not quite sure what to make of some of these baseball decisions. I mean, the Nationals reeks of the Lerner family. I don't even know at this point how long Mike Rizzo is gonna stick around on the Nationals. I think he probably gets fired at the end of next year, to be honest, with the Nationals. But the Cubs, I'm kind of interested to see who they're actually going after in terms of candidates, because Bosio seemed to be pretty a pretty good pitching coach. So interesting that they would fire him and right after the season. So it's I mean. The couple of names that I would say is that probably Mike Maddox on the Nationals might be a guy who's gonna be available. Actually, I'm pretty sure Mike Maddox has to be available. They're gonna fire Dusty Baker, so it doesn't make any sense with some of these clubs. So I think probably Mike Maddox. Maybe Dan Worthen on the Mets, Jim Hickey from the Rays. Hickey makes actually the most sense for the Cubs, though, I will say, because he was Joe Maddon's pitching coach back in Tampa, so maybe that's the connection that they're going for there. But yeah, just kind of curious about some of the moves that are happening. So in terms of the baseball. Again, I'm looking at this, and I'm literally looking at the Alabama-Tennessee game. Tennessee just scored a touchdown off an interception return, and the Tennessee player is literally down three touchdowns and is flipping off the Alabama crowd. That is fantastic. Oh man, Butch Jones, great job, coach. Great job with your players. Oh jeez. Anyway, so. That's what I've got going on in terms of the baseball tonight. Hopefully it's a great game. Hopefully the Yankees win. Obviously that'll be a very interesting time in New York to see the Yankees in World Series, especially against the Dodgers, because you got the Brooklyn Dodger fan contingent also still around. So and Mets fans will be miserable because Brooklyn Dodger fans seem to outnumber Mets fans at times. Depending on the time of year. Well, you never know. But anyway, that's all for now, guys. Enjoy the game and football coming up right around the corner tomorrow with the NFL. So, later, guys.
It's the most talked about position in all of sports, the quarterback. And now there's a show solely dedicated to the most sought after role on the field, Celebrity QB, featuring four-time Super Bowl champion coach Charlie Weiss. Unlike other football shows, you'll get the inside scoop on all things quarterbacks. Like, is this the year Tom Brady finally looks his age? Will dating Danica Patrick distract Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, he's dating Danica Patrick, Charlie. We're interested in that, you know?
Well, I mean, Tommy's got Giselle. I'll take Giselle, okay?
Is Dak Prescott good enough to win a Super Bowl for the Cowboys? Which rookie quarterback has the best shot of making a positive impact in 2018?
How about intellectually, Charlie, as far as what they ask the quarterbacks to do now?
The game has changed, but the pressure that's put on quarterbacks, and it always been put on quarterbacks, is tremendous.
Join Charlie Weiss and co-host Steve Strout on an all-new podcast from Lasting Media, exclusively about quarterbacks. Subscribe now at Apple iTunes or wherever you listen to great podcasts. Celebrity QB, everyone's favorite position.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.